and even Lord Vishnu was coerced into celebrating again the steps of the dance of the amphora, as Murugan, in his new body, laughed at the world clad in all her oceans, and did his dance of triumph upon those waters as upon a stage, the dance that he had danced after the slaying of Shura, who had taken refuge in the depths of the sea. When Mara gestured, there was magic and color and music and wine. There was poetry and gaming. There was song and laughter. There was sport, in which mighty trials of strength and skill took place. In all, it required the stamina of a god to bear the entire 7 days of pleasure. These things considered, it was thorough as well as impressive, the wedding. When it was over, the bride and the groom departed heaven, to wander for a time about the world, to take in the pleasures of many places. They went, without servants or retainers, to wander free. They did not announce the order of their visitations, or the length of the time they would spend, which was to be expected, their fellows being the celestial practical jokers that they were. After their going, there was still some revelry. Lord Rudra, having consumed a magnificent quantity of soma, stood up upon a table and began to deliver a speech concerning the bride, a speech with which, had Yama been present, he would doubtless have taken issue. Such being the case, Lord Agni slapped Rudra across the mouth and was immediately challenged to a duel in aspect across the length of heaven. Agni was flown to a mountaintop beyond Kanibura, and Lord Rudra took up a position near World's End. When the signal was given, Rudra sent a heat-tracking arrow whistling down the miles in the direction of his opponent. From 15 miles away, however, Lord Agni spotted the arrow as it sped toward him and burnt it from out the air with a blast of the universal fire, which same power he then moved like a needle of light to touch upon Rudra and burn him to ashes where he stood, also piercing through the dome at his back. Thus was the honor of the Lokapalas upheld, and a new Rudra was raised up from the ranks of the demigods to take the place of the old, who had fallen. One Raja and 2 high priests died of poisoning, quite colorfully, and pyres were built to accommodate their bluish remains. Lord Krishna raised up his aspect and played a music after which there is no music, and Gwari the Fair relented and came to him once more. Her heart softened after he had finished. Sarasvati in her glory did the dance of delight, and then Lord Mara recreated the flight of Helba and the Buddha through the city. This last dreaming troubled many, however, and more names were recorded at that time. A demon then dared enter into their midst, with the body of a youth and the head of a tiger, attacking Lord Agni with a terrible fury. He was repelled by the combined powers of Ratri and of Vishnu, but he succeeded in escaping into incorporeality before Agni could bring his wand to bear upon him. In the days that followed, there were changes within heaven. Tak of the Archives and the Bright Spear was judged by the Lords of Karma and was transmigrated into the body of an ape. And there was a warning set within his mind that wherever he presented himself for renewal, he was to be given again into the body of an ape, to wander the world in this form until such a time as heaven saw fit to extend its mercy and lift this doom from him. He was then sent forth into the jungles of the south and there released to work off his karmic burden. Lord Varuna the Just gathered his servants about him and departed the celestial city to make his home elsewhere in the world. Some of his detractors likened his departure to that of Niriti the Black, god of darkness and corruption, who had left heaven filled with ill will and the miasma of many a dark curse. The detractors of Varuna were not so numerous, however, for it was common knowledge that he deserved the title Just, and his condemnation could easily be construed to reflect upon the worth of its speaker. So few spoke of him beyond the days immediately following his going. Much later, others among the gods were exiled into the world in the days of the heavenly purges. Their going, however, had its beginnings in these times, when accelerationism entered again into heaven. Brahma, mightiest of the four orders of gods and the 18 hosts of paradise, creator of all, lord of high heaven and everything beneath it, from whose navel springs forth a lotus and whose hands churn the oceans, he, who in three strides encompasses all the worlds, the drum of whose glory strikes terror into the hearts of his enemies, upon whose right hand is the wheel of the law, who tethers catastrophes using a snake for rope. Brahma was to feel more and more uncomfortable and distraught in the days that came to pass as a result of the promise rashly given to the mistress of death. But then, it is quite likely that he would have proceeded in the same manner without her persuasions. The major effect of her actions, then, was probably that it gave him, for a brief time, someone to blame his later troubles upon. He was also known as Brahma the Infallible. The dome of heaven was repaired in several places at the end of the time of the revels. The Museum of Heaven was thereafter provided with an armed guard who remained upon the premises at all times. Several demon-hunting parties were planned, but never got beyond the planning stage. A new archivist was appointed, one who had no knowledge whatsoever concerning his parentage. The phantom cats of Kanibura were granted symbolic representation in temples throughout the land. On the last night of the revels, a lone god entered the Pavilion of Silence at World's End and dwelled for a long while in the room called Memory. Then he laughed long and returned to the celestial city, and his laughter was a thing of youth and beauty and strength and purity. And the winds that circle through heaven caught it up and bore it far across the land, where all who heard it marveled at the strange and vibrant note of triumph that it contained. These things considered, it was thorough as well as impressive, the time of love and death, of hate and life, and of folly.